Welcome home to another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
I'm Devin.
I'm Blue.
And I'm a guy named Rob.
Hee hee, I'm Booty.
So the last time we were here together, Blue was not with us, but now they are. And oh my God, we have a new Coheed and Cambria demo from TikTok, but we have a new Coheed demo.
Yeah, what is that about?
I'm super fucking stoked about this. What the fuck is happening on TikTok that it just happens? Like, it comes out of nowhere. It goes exclusively on TikTok. No, like, YouTube videos. No, like, real, like, uploaded on Facebook, not really uploaded on Twitter, nothing. It's just, hey, by the way, here's a demo for a new song. And to me, honestly, it sounds not the song itself, but the idea of this sounds to me like, remember when they did Atlas and Atlas premiered before the album came out? It feels like that.
Just like Shoulders came out a year before Vaxxas 2.
True.
Yeah, but didn't wasn't it Century the Defiant. I think it was before Afterman, maybe? Like, first one? A weird recording.
It feels like it's becoming more common for Coheed to release one single super early and really hype up the, like, upcoming album and let people wait and tease the fuck out of us and make us really upset. Because we sit here for weeks and weeks and months being like, what's it gonna be? How's it gonna sound? Based on this one single that they decide to drop a year in advance for no fucking reason. I mean, I'm not really gonna complain if a new song's gonna come out. However, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They have my therapy bills to pay for this.
So true. Devin?
Well, speaking of teasing, Claudio has returned to Twitch and has announced an announcement.
At first, you think it's he's flubbing a line about announcing an announcement. No, they're announcing an announcement about something. Devin, I mean, you know the hints. Go ahead.
So, two things. Taking this to the streets and then a lyric from My Brother's Blood Machine. Those are the two hints that we have.
Taking it to the streets. Thank you very much, Michael McDonald.
Oop.
And the lyric was Before They Bury Me. So is Prizefighter Inferno going to tour? We know that Claudio was working on the remastering, or I guess reproduction, recreation of My Brother's Blood Machine as he lost those original files. So I imagine that will probably get a re-release. Or I guess it's a novel release since it's all redone. What better way to celebrate that than with a little tour?
What if it's not a tour, but what if it is an exclusive performance on the cruise? Because here's the thing. Claudio has said multiple times, especially in streams and interviews where he's asked, that he's not super stoked at the idea of taking PFI on tour. He doesn't think the reception will be good. He said before that it would feel too much like the VIP acoustic song before the show, which is always very nice and very intimate, but I don't think it's the thing that he's sort of searching for in terms of a reaction. But if it was an exclusive thing for the cruise, or even something like NYCC, because he did say people would have a lot to talk about at Comic-Con. What if it was something like that? Because we all know, based on, you know, the things he was doing on Instagram, he was rehashing, he hinted that he was re-recording certain tracks from My Brother's Blood Machine. So, to me, it would feel very Claudio to do something exclusive like that. on top of a re-release of the album.
I will say, here are a few things that you should know about this, okay? First and foremost, this was Michael McDonald's first song with the Doobie Brothers, all right? Taking It to the Streets was released in 1976, I believe.
Oh my god.
No, this is actually important, all right? It was his first song. It was his first song with the band in 1976, March 17th, which is great. I mean, it's generally a love song for the Doobie Brothers. It's a very popular song. But the lyrical content I find to be very interesting when it comes to Taking It to the Streets, especially the first lines. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. I was raised here in this living hell. You don't know my kind in your world. Fairly soon, the time will tell. Interesting lyrical content for My Brother's Blood Machine. I would assume, honestly, that we would be getting a My Brother's Blood Machine re-release. And the thing that he leaves us with, like you said, before they bury me, seems to point in that direction.
So you think the line taking it to the streets is too literal and he was actually hinting at the first verse instead of, like, the song as an overall?
I think he meant the song was the hint. When he was talking to Chandra about it, the song is the hint.
So I was thinking, like, okay, if he did, like, a super small, maybe Brooklyn show, prize fighter in front of, like, what weekend realistically could they do it? And just with Comic-Con coming up, really August is the only month, but man, it's hot. That man does not want to sit in a small crowded room in August in New York, sweating, playing these really intimate songs. So which makes me think December for a tour, but like, it's the holidays, no one really wants a tour. So maybe you're right, Rob. Maybe it is just the album. I just want to see Prize Fighter live.
Well, I also want to mention here, just for clarity, in the live stream, he did mention that he didn't like the chorus of the song, even though the chorus is great. And I think that he's specifically talking about the verses, because I believe there's two verses followed by chorus, 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 chorus. But the verses themselves sound very My Brother's Blood Machine.
But it isn't unlike Claudio to do intimate shows at Comic-Con. Coheed one time just showed up and started doing shit. Do you know what I mean? So if he was thinking of performing them, then I don't think it's too far-fetched to think that it would be a show like that. Or even like a random pop-up on the cruise. Which he did jokingly say he'd do one time. Streams many, many moons ago, he was like, maybe I'll just rock up in some corridor with my guitar. And everyone was like, please do that. Do you know what I mean? If it's not a PFI tour or exclusive show, I'm not going to be like too surprised. But I do think maybe it's a possibility.
I think we are also forgetting the time when he went out on the streets of Brooklyn and played Island for children. But like, you know, he did it. And speaking of Comic-Con, while we were making this little pit stop, the San Diego Comic-Con sightings are all next week, the weekend of July 20th, 21st, and 22nd. And signing times, Thursday at 5, Friday at 5, Saturday at 4, booth 1732 with Claudio and Chandra. Probably going to be some exclusives, you know, a shirt, you know, maybe a pin, maybe a print. We haven't gotten any of that information yet. Hopefully we will soon. And if anyone's going, let a podcast host know, you know. New York Comic Con, unfortunately, is no longer the same weekend that Indigenous Peoples Day weekend. It is a week later this year. So you do not have that Monday buffer in the United States to have off. So unfortunately, as of right now, I will not be attending. But I hope that everyone who wants to can grab a ticket. They are on sale. Any resale tickets are available on Lite. All that information is at the New York Comic Con website.
I wish I could go so bad this year. Like, last year was a killer. It was the first time I ever went. It was awesome. But this year, there is so much stuff that I want to see, and I can't. Like, Coheed aside, there's, like, Critical Role going. You've got, like, The Good Omens, David Tennant and Michael Sheen are going. I'm just so upset that I can't go. But it's 2 weeks before the cruise, and I have other things that I gotta do. And no money. That works too. But yeah, upset that this year all the things are happening and I can't experience them. So if anyone's going to New York Comic Con, let me know what's going on, because I want to live vicariously through you. And if you're going on the cruise too, how dare you have that much free time and money?
Let a podcast host know, you know?
Yeah, let a podcast host know. Amen.
But also, hopefully by that time, near Comic-Con, in a recent interview, Claudio said that they're pretty much done with Gnoworld. Three issues have been illustrated, and that just sounds like good progress to me. We're so close to the end.
I have nothing to say about this. I know I'm being quiet right now, but I'm just waiting. I'm sitting here seething in my chair, just waiting to get my hands on whatever's going to happen in the last chapter of this Amory Wars story, allegedly.
Well, when Vaxis ends and it's revealed that everything is just a snake eating its own tail, it'll technically be the end, but also the beginning. So.
Well, we'll just have to see how it plays out. Speaking of Gnoworld, though, there was a tour. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but we had a whole ass tour that happened. Gnoworld for the Waking Mind tour, which started over here in the States, eventually went overseas. And this set list, holy shit. But before we get into that stuff, let's talk about Devin's favorite part of the podcast. Let's talk merch, tour exclusives, releases for another edition of Merch Monday on a Friday. Even though today's a Thursday. Go ahead, Devin.
Oh my God, we got vinyl, baby. We got second stage, beautiful, beautiful black and white splatter pressing. And then you have a silver marble pressing of Gnoworld on that double gatefold with the beautiful art that we all know and love. We got shirts, we got bags, totes. One of my favorite designs is the Welcome to Appity Prime. If the air doesn't kill you, Wilhelm Ryan will. Oh! I wish they had actual postcards. I feel like that would be fire and it would be cool to get the band to sign. Anyway, there's the Mage pin and there is the Gnoworld for Tomorrow demo cassette. And I believe that is Chris Penny playing drums on this. I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds very similar to some of the fills that he would be playing. And obviously, we know Taylor Hawkins was not out there demoing, he was there to crush it and bounce. So check those out for yourself. Someone kindly used their tape and uploaded it to YouTube. Thank you very much. And I mean, you could drop at this merch booth. There's a sweatsuit and everything. It's crazy. Pictures are floating around online. If you are planning on heading to one of the shows on the second leg, definitely check it out and prepare, prepare, prepare. Most venues are going contactless. Usually I say cash is king, but I think we're kind of moving away from that, which is weird, but tis what it is.
Let's talk the set list real quick. Just a quick rundown for people who haven't heard for tour set list. They played the entirety of Gnoworld for Tomorrow front to back, which is amazing. Of course, they're going to play that for their essentially this is their Gnoworld Neverender redone. And then we also have for Encore, Embers of Fire, Into Beautiful Losers, Into Shoulders, Rise Nyanasha, A Disappearing Act, The Liars Club. And then, of course, Ladders of Supremacy as the final encore. And boy, oh boy, can I tell you how upset I am as a fan of Coheed that I didn't go to a show this tour because they did the impossible. They streamed the impossible dream and didn't close with Welcome Home. Holy shit.
So I'm exceptionally grateful at the fact that they played Ladders of Supremacy. But my thing is, they also had Rise Nyanasha on the set list, and they were not back to back. So your boy would have appreciated seeing that transition. I know they're in different tunings, that would have been a bitch, but I feel like just have Josh go crazy on the drums on the outro to Ladders while the band changes guitars and ending with Rise would have been nuts. However, ending in Keeping Secrets, My Atlanta Folk, that was the shit. That was
I'm
hype.
so mad. I'm so mad. Me and Rob were offered tickets to the Tabby and we couldn't go. And I was upset when I learned that you guys got an encore to the encore. Bastards. Man, it looks so electric. The Tabby always is by, I mean, I've never been, but like by videos and pictures and stuff. Man, to have been there for that show, nuts. But I've been very lucky that I got to see it in Pittsburgh and then over here in London. And boy, oh boy, it was insane. Don't be so rude, Robert. Why you gotta be like that? He is creating a very rude gesture to me, for those of you who can't see him. But yeah, I've been very fortunate that I got to see it twice this tour cycle, and they were two very different shows for just in terms of audience. Pittsburgh was a lot more chill, but it was still such a community feel, and then London was insanity. Insane. Because the UK, we don't get them very often, so I think we go extremely hard for them. Yeah, what a set list, man. What a set list.
They also did do a short tour and some festival runs with Incubus, and that was kind of just a mixed, greatest hit set, Faber House, Welcome Home, all that jazz. But they did keep Ladders of Supremacy on for some of the festival dates, which was really cool because not everyone could hit, one of the full headliners. And they ended their last show in the States in New Jersey. They did play in Keeping Secrets at that one too. So we did get it twice. Hopefully we will get it again as we move into the second leg. I think the fan response to that song is always massive. So if they need that kick of energy at the end after, playing a whole album and then some, they can just throw it on there.
Just really quickly, can we talk about the visuals they used in the US leg of those screens? They had so many interesting visuals, drawings, like bright lights, you name it. And I was trying really hard in amongst the weeping and the crying during certain numbers to like really focus on it. And a lot of it, especially for the No World stuff, was like art we have seen before, but the way that they used it, I was like trying really hard to analyze it at the time, and I'm hoping someone got clearer videos of what was happening behind the lads, 'cause I found it really hard to see through my just like streaming tears during Mother Superior, being like, what is it on the screen? I don't know. It is a shame the UK leg didn't get it, but I know logistically it would have been very difficult to have the same setup. It was so cool though, to have those like visuals alongside the boys just absolutely ripping it. What a tour. And there's still half to go. Y'all are in for a treat if you haven't seen it. It's awesome.
There are more tour dates, more festival dates, and really, I think they should live stream one of them. I with Neverenders, it's something special. It's the first time that Zach and Josh are playing some of these songs live in front of people. Like, that's a powerful moment that should be recorded for all of history. But speaking of visuals, and speaking of Ladders of Supremacy, we got a music video for Ladders of Supremacy that premiered on Crunchyroll, which is a very, very cool fact.
It's not my favorite that they've ever released. You know, Coheed aren't known for their music videos really, except for Toys. I would say that's a really big one that they kind of killed. That was cool.
Literate Summer.
Domino.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, Domino, but you can't find that anywhere anymore.
They had like Number City up at some point too. Even The Suffering, even though it's like bad, it's like well produced.
Good, but yeah, it's so bad it's good. I
Right?
agree with that 100%. And same with the Welcome Home music video. It's so edgy, it's good.
Feathers is iconic. We love to see it.
Holy shit, Feathers is so good. Feathers might be my favorite music video. I just love watching it. Hey, oh boys, every time.
Year of the Black Rainbow era had great music videos as well. After
True.
the title track, that's a great music video.
Oh my god, dude, for Year of the Black Rainbow, if the music was better, they could be the best videos
Oh
ever
my
made.
God, this guy.
Okay, back to the matter. The thing is I think they could have done a lot more with this video. Like when you think of a music video premiering on Crunchyroll, something as epic as Ladders, I think fans especially expected something more than
Anime.
anime for one, or something less like zooming in on the same 3D visual, and then I just found it very chaotic. And I know some people liked that. I found it really hard to follow. I didn't really understand what they were trying to do with it. But that's just me.
Some people said that it felt like tour visuals, and I definitely would agree with that. It was like still images that were slightly animated. You have Ladders of Supremacy, which is such an epic song, as Blue said, and it's such an epic moment in the story. They're getting betrayed and they're trying to make this escape out of the seed, and everything's just falling apart around them. And that would have been so cool to see the story come to life. And with the concept being so dense and somewhat inaccessible, you do have to buy a box set. Now we have the soft cover, which is awesome, but most people still haven't picked up the story. So seeing a part of it definitely could have got some people into it, especially a moment in the story and a song such as Ladders of Supremacy.
I think it's always a good idea to lean into characters. Characters from the story, like you said, story beats are really important. And speaking of Rise of Inuyasha, that video did something that they haven't done before, which is they've showed parts of the story that are not in the book at all. Specifically, that man that stands on the planet looking at the red sun, there is no mention of that whatsoever in Vaxis 2. And this came out before the book was out. So like I am extremely curious, like if you're gonna put story into your music videos, which they did, like with Ladders, I thought it was cool to see those characters again, even if there are in different forms and these different 3D models. But do something with it. Create a story. Create a something that we can latch on to as fans, that we can deep dive and go frame by frame and figure out what's going on.
I don't want to discredit the person who made the video, but to me, watching it, it felt a little rushed in terms of the overall, like, finish of the video. It felt a little janky at parts, and I think that is part of the reason why I didn't enjoy it so much. It felt very chaotic and hard to follow. And visually, I think at first, you had the characters around the like hologram map, and then it zoomed into the first eye, and I thought that was a really cool idea, but then it just kept repeating, and I didn't really understand what it is that they were trying to do with that. It felt to me like, they just wanted to put something out for the song. And I understand it because Ladders is such a popular song off that record, but I agree, with such a epic song, with the amount of time and like passion you can tell was put into the Rise music video, I felt like it just could have been done, executed a little better.
Speaking of visuals and seeing the same things over and over, when it comes to things like the Who's Tommy, as far as the movie goes, which I would deem necess like is a very much just a long music video that tells a story. With the Who's Tommy, you see images of Tommy where it's like, oh, he's looking in the mirror and he has like kind of the blue version of himself, and that's weird. We don't know what that means. Or like we'll see him, looking like a Christ-like figure standing in front of these giant cutout like B-52 warplanes from like World War II. And you know that it has something to do with his father and the story. But as the story goes forward, it's like, oh, since he's looking in the mirror and seeing a blue version of Tommy at this point, and then 30 minutes later, he's looking in the mirror again, and there's a blue and red. And then by the time he finally breaks free, there's a blue, red, and yellow of the same kind of visual, but doing something in a medium where you can tell a story, it makes it more impactful. And showing the same things over and over again in a music video did not service whatever story the music video was trying to tell. And that's the thing that I disliked about it. That aside, the music, of course, is amazing. To see those characters and models again, really amazing. What they did with it, I felt like they could have done more. And I know it sounds like we're all shitting on it at this point, but the music is good. The visuals are cool. We need something a little bit more substantial with it because we know they're capable of that.
It's true. I absolutely love this art that they have. the more 3D style that they have incorporated into Vaxxess, it makes the idea of like an animated series or a movie feel so much more viable by the way that they have executed the overall style of Vaxxess, and I love that. And the music really lends itself to that. Ladders in itself is such an epic song. It feels like, even if you took away Claudio's vocals, like it could be a part of a like movie soundtrack. Like it is that cool. So I think like the music video has some merit because it has some really important elements to it. And again, the music slaps. We all know this. Ladders is a great, great track. But I agree with you. I think, yeah, just something else could have been done with the material to lend itself better to the track. And I think that's my sticking point as well.
You know, you have the Liars Club music video, which literally tells an entire chapter of Vaxxess Act 2. That's kind of what I was expecting. But to jump off of this point, talking about Liars Club, we got a new Coheed beer. Yes, sir. We got the Liars Club IPA. There was a release event at the Sixth Point Brewing Company in Brooklyn downstairs. Claudio and Josh were there as Travis was with the Dunes playing some shows. And Zach, who knows what he's up to? He's a
Florida.
he's up to Florida, yes. But yeah, I mean, if we're talking about alcohol, which we are, the cruise drink winner was selected. The Blood Red Summer will be the drink of choice, a specialty drink. Last year it was Al the Painkiller. So we are moving along with that and keeping secrets trend, which is very fitting for the boat. And yeah, the Coheed beer design is awesome. It has Candelaria on it. Tastes like grapefruit. It's an IPA. Please make something else, Coheed. But at the same time, this was the best beer collab that they've done, in my opinion. So.
I was just going to say I'm excited for the drink they chose for the cruise because it's the one I voted for. It's so good. I'm a huge vodka fan, so let's go.
I voted for the Pina Colada. I don't know how to actually pronounce that, but I like frozen coconut pineapple drink.
I just hate pineapple. I couldn't
I
vote
would
for
love to
it.
vote. Anyway.
Join the SS Neverender Facebook group. Doesn't matter if you're going, it's a vibe.
Run the Deck with Josh is open. Only 50 people can join this time, but they did say if you want to stay on the side and wave, you can do that too. It's vacation. I'm not going to be exercising, but maybe I'll say, hey, you know.
Yeah, I'm not one for running, but
I mean, I don't exercise anyway, so like, why would I? What is this? But it's fine.
good for you if you want to get up at like 8 in the morning and run around a ship. I will not be doing that, but props to you, Josh, for keeping that going. And I'm sure it'll be a good time for whoever is into cardio that early in the morning. You interesting, interesting people.
Yeah, so you know, as we are wrapping up some cruise talk, but talking about Josh, we do have the drum set confessional. Josh did two events in Texas where the first night was more of just a Q&A talking about his struggles through addiction and how he got to where he is now. And then the second night he was actually behind the kit doing basically a drum clinic. And there is a whole website where you can get merch and proceeds go to charities supporting, you know, those who are struggling with addiction. And you can get signed photos, customized signed photos, stickers, hats, drinkware, all that jazz. But it's really cool and it's awesome what Josh is doing. It's really going above and beyond just making the music and supporting us in that way, but like, you know, actually being a beacon of for those who are struggling.
I love Josh. I love Josh to death. I think he's a fantastic musician. I love hearing him, drum in general. I think he's fucking amazing. But seeing him talk about addiction and seeing him really connecting with an audience about that, it feels like this is his true calling. Like talking to people about this stuff, you can tell he has so much passion for this and so much care that, like, I'm so happy for him. Every time I see a clip of him talking about anything regarding this is just like it's so good to see him in this space.
No, you have Weird Science, which expresses a lot of those demons and gets that out there and was definitely, you know, a release in that regard. And last cruise, he's like, yeah, I think I'm done with it. You know, I'm not filled with piss and vinegar anymore. And but like you said, this is definitely like his calling. This is the next natural step, you know, going from fuck you and your filthy A&R department to like, here's how we can get you on the right path to really, you know, make your life work. And he's answering video, he's answering questions online through videos and just being so open and welcoming to everyone that's been supporting it so far.
I think it is so important to have musicians that you really look up to speak so candidly about these sorts of things, because if you're a Coheed fan, generally you'll know that Josh endured a lot of these things, but to hear it so bluntly, but with that like almost positive spin on it, like, this is what I have done with my life, I'm proud of where I am, but that doesn't hide the fact that these things happened, I think is so important for a lot of fans who either may be struggling with certain things that are similar, you know, whether it be addiction or mental health issues, and just really important for people who may not necessarily have been exposed to things like that. And to hear it come from someone you look up to, and Josh is such a natural public speaker. You can tell that if he ever does Q&As or interviews with the band in itself, he always tends to take the lead. I just think he does a fantastic job. And we also can't forget that, you know, his friend Robert has really helped get the more administrative side of this project going. He runs all the social media and he's doing such a superb job rendezvousing, corresponding with everyone, keeping the engagement going, supporting Josh. So shout out to him because he's doing an excellent job also.
Speaking of doing an excellent job, let's talk about another podcast for a second. Bandwives is going on tour. There is a Portugal trip that the Bandwives are going on. And if you haven't heard Bandwives, like, at this point, what are you doing? Like, why are you listening to us? Bandwives is so good.
You know, they were talking about how they just went to Italy and that they're learning all these languages. They have a partnership with Babbel. Thank you, Alyssa.
Put that in the podcast.
Listen, there's a lot of there's a lot of information up here, but my lovely wife came through with the save. So there's still spots left. It will take place in 2024 from August 1st to August 6th, and you are going to go to Portugal. It does not include flights. And that's one of the things that's deterring me, aside from the price point, which as of right now is at a discounted rate if you book soon for $2,799.
Oh my God, I did not know it was that expensive. Sorry. Fuck?
But what you get to do, you get a Lisbon walking tour with local food, a tasting at Torres Vedras Winery and lunch, a local market tour, cooking class, winery visit and tasting. You'll get an art gathering, a writing Q&A, and a poetry workshop. So it's definitely a retreat. You know, you're going to hone in your craft with Chandra, who, as we know, wrote so much for the Coheed verse. And, you know, if you've been following them for a while, or at least have picked up the books recently, you can kind of tell when she gets involved, because it gets a little better. And then you have Misha Lazara, who is an author and a professor. So you definitely have some experts there with you. Just with the cruise coming up and our own life, I don't think that's going to happen for us. But if you can go to this trip, please report back and let us know how it is. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. If you've listened to the Bandwives podcast, you know that they are just a crazy duo of very talented people. So
I would go if I wasn't going to save up for the Deer Hunter summer camp.
Imagine if you did go, Devin, and like Chandra's there and it's just like, I cannot get away from this motherfucker.
I book a whole retreat to Portugal to escape this man, and he just turns up. We raised the price
point so that he wouldn't fucking go.
They didn't cancel it. They just cancel it. It's like everyone gets a refund, and then they're like, all right, we're doing it even further, and then I'm there again.
Hey, Devin.
They just see your name on the roster, and they're like, we got to do something about this.
Weather. Weather's bad. They said no teachers allowed. I don't know why.
But Misha's a professor.
Sorry.
That's different.
Okay, just speaking of being everywhere, Devin, why the fuck was I sitting there on my fucking Facebook feed? No, it was my Twitter feed, I think. And I'm just scrolling. I'm just being a regular guy. And it's just like, hey, LS Dunes throws mic to the fan in crowd. And I'm like, okay, cool. What is this? And then it's fucking you.
Motherfucker. What
the fuck happened?
Astounded.
What? Devin?
Before this man speaks, can we talk about his scream? That vocal is awesome. Hello. Have you ever trained? Look at him go. What an opportunity. What a moment.
Our soft special boy.
Our special boy.
Our soft special boy has finally become an adult. I love him.
So yes, this did occur on the Sad Summer Festival, which had LS Dunes on it. They have wrapped up their run on Sad Summer Festival. You have Head Automatica, Andrew McMahon, and another band filling in as like special guest openers. The first things first about this festival, why are we doing pop punk festivals in amphitheaters that don't have pits? People don't want to go and sit down and scream. They want to stand.
Yeah. You can't pick up change in a fucking seat. What the hell's going on, guys?
But the shows were a lot of fun. The VIP viewing area was different for each day, and for that specific date where Anthony tossed me the mic, the VIP section was the Frank Iero pit. It was just everyone was forced to go into that section if you had VIP, but you know, the Coheed fans were like, can we just go on the other side of this little section to be in front of Travis? And they're like, sure. So they released a new song, Benadryl subreddit, and there is vinyl, and they performed it live. I just was screaming the shit out of it. And Anthony was like, you want it? So he threw it. I screamed. It was great. And then the following day, they played their first show of their summer headliner in Nashville. And it's pretty much their own Neverender. So if you want to see LS Dunes play every song that they have released, go see them on this headliner tour. Tour dates at lsdunes.com. Anthony Green also has a solo tour coming up, and Travis has some features on other projects. He's on Tron the Archer's Life Comes Fast, Death Comes Faster. And actually, he played on the opener for the Nashville show, Nate Bergman's latest record, Metaphysical Change. There are three vinyl variants, CD for that. But yeah, LS Dunes rips. If you can see them, go see them. They're nuts live. I just want to mention really quickly, LS Dunes does have VIP. So if you wanted to meet Anthony Green, Tucker Rule, Tim Payne, Frank Iero, and of course, Travis Stever, those are available. And it's like a 40-minute Q&A, which is incredible. I recorded the one that we went to, and it's on there on YouTube's. But yeah, you get a poster, which is the same poster as the merch booth, but it's signed by the band, and you get that early entry and all that jazz. But I would be remiss if I did not mention that there are VIP for LS Dunes.
We have quite a few tours and stuff that we want to announce real quick. So why not get all of those out?
Sure, absolutely. Joey Eppard has tour dates. He will be on the SS Neverender. Those are in upstate New York. You have Hail the Sun and Kaonashi. Hail the Sun was on the last SS Neverender. Kaonashi on the upcoming SS Neverender. They're actually touring together, and that kicks off in like a week, and that's going to be absolutely insane. And then kind of going back to Travis for a second, not really Travis himself, but his father has a project which now has Bandcamp. So check out Satin. We'll put the link down below. And you know, this time next week, we might have a Prizefighter tour if our crazy theories are correct, but the world may never know, but we will actually in like a week. So
I have two things to say about this before Rob jumps in. Number one, Travis Stever, please rest. I'm worried about you and your health. He is doing so much right now. I'm like, sir, how do you have the energy? It's insane. He is like a workhorse. It is awesome. He's doing so much. I want to very quickly mention that along with Kayanashi's tour that's starting soon, they're also doing their first ever UK tour, and that's pretty insane. And I'm gonna go see them when they hit up Brighton. So let's go, baby, pre-cruise. They're actually playing one of my favorite clubs in Brighton, and it's an LGBT club, and I was really surprised because it doesn't get a lot of hardcore or heavy bands playing there. It's usually like drag queens and stuff. So I am obsessed. I'm so excited, and it's gonna be killer.
And then, as far as wrapping up our Coheed news and generally everything else, we have Soundwaves Art for Charity, which is the Soundwaves Art Foundation. They have a few prints, Coheed and Cambria related, specifically for Welcome Home. They have prints that are signed by the band, I believe, for like $300. But then they also have unsigned prints, which I think are like 75, something like that. They're also auctioning off another print as well.
Yes, those are the originals. They have the original canvases that Claudio has, added a lyric or drew a picture on as well. And yeah, these are being sold to support the work of Children in Conflict.
It looks like there's only one left. It's for 2,500. Oh, get it while you can.
Would you like a print or would you like a trip with the band wives? I'd pick the trip.
You're the merch guy. You'd pick the print.
Well, because I can just get the $75 print and get them to sign it at a meet and greet. Because the as much as it would be nice to own an original, the experience of, going to a new country and learning is worth more than a physical item.
Absolutely.
If it was a Shabuti vinyl, like, test pressing, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's just about it.
Well, we have Blue here and we have Rob here.
What do you want?
I was listening to this band today, as specifically the song Gloria, and I was reminded about how freaking good they are.
Real.
Yeah, they're real good.
I need them to tour with Coheed again because
Real.
fire.
Yeah, for real. Dual headliner, please.
Why don't y'all fill me in? What's going on?
Oh, baby, do we have some news for you? We've started a spin-off, guys. You think ATC fulfilled you? Well, not anymore. We have something else. This is the best promo that I can come up with. I don't know what you want from me.
Well, what Blues is saying is we have a sister podcast to All Things Coheed. We're not sitting here being like, fuck All Things Coheed. We're still going to continue to make episodes and everything. But I have been threatening to do this for a long time. And I finally have a co-host that will sit and talk about this shit with me. And I am so fucking excited. We recently released our first actual episode. We have an interview with Casey that was kind of like our episode zero. But we just went into act one. The music, which we're going to do the All Things Coheed formula for. So if you are interested in the Deer Hunter and don't know how to get, like acquainted with them because the story is so dense, or you haven't had the excuse to listen to the music, this is a great opportunity to do so. We will be covering the story separately. We'll be covering the albums and the music separately. So if you like the way that we do the All Things Coheed formula with Coheed, then you want to have that applied to the Deer Hunter. This is the podcast for you. And we might have some more interviews and things lined up for the future. Who knows? Maybe some things might happen.
Absolutely, we have some really exciting things planned. We're trying to get it to become a lot more audience interactive. So, if you're a big fan of the Deer Hunter and you're a big fan of listening to podcasts and you want your voices heard, check out our socials. Give us a little message, a little reply at any point. We might talk about what you want to talk about. We have a couple episodes upcoming that are really exciting. It's the Act Two music summary. That's going to be really fun. We are planning a UK EU tour recap. with some extra special guests. So yeah, it's gonna be super fun, super chill. I think Rob said it best to me the other day when he said he wants to have a podcast feel like how it feels when you're talking to another fan in line for the concert. And that's all this is. It's just super chill, super conversational. So jump in, have a good time. Give us a little cheeky listen.
Definitely following that all things Coheed mantra, by fans, for fans. I will request that when you get to Indigo off of the color spectrum, if you know you are looking for a guest, that I can talk about the best Deer Hunter song ever crafted, Progress.
Oh, buddy, guess what? You're not going to be satisfied with just Indigo, unfortunately. I'm going to have you on for that. That's fine and dandy. We'll have you on, but it's going to be multiple colors. It's not going to be every color, but we are probably going to do like three colors at a time, something like that. I'm
actually
so excited.
The best Deer Hunter song that's ever been created is Ring One. So I don't really know what you're on about, Devin.
Y'all really got to convince me on this new record. I like it. I think it's good. Technically, it's
Devin, it's space funk. What's not to like about space?
Before we leave, I'm going to show you something, and then it'll be fine because we're almost done. But I'm going to show you a part of it.
This doesn't it doesn't have a, like, to me, I don't feel anything when I listen to it.
That's
like,
fine. You're not listening to the right songs. Anyway, I think that's all we have.
As I've listened to the whole thing,
you need to listen to it in context. Read our lore document.
This has been another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast.
I'm Devin.
I'm Blue.
And I'm a guy named Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Well, as we're talking about podcasts, and Blue just mentioned they're saving up for
the future. No. We still have another thing to talk about that you forgot.
There's so much more on our list, but I feel like that was a good segue.
No, fuck the segue. We'll do that last.
All right. Fuck Devin, the segue, I guess.
Devin, speaking of being everywhere.
I guess. All right, Rob.
Speaking of being everywhere.
Cool, I guess, Rob. All right. You know, whatever.
Say it out festival. Loud. I made a Twilight joke. That's so good. Say it out loud. Vampire. I just don't want to get more sad than I already am. Hey, Devin. I know that you're going to cut this, and that's fine. Are those Star Wars blister packs on the wall behind you? What is that?
Oh, I won't cut these, but yeah, they are. They're episode 1 and 2 figurines. Just episode 1 figurines. I have Yoda and I have Anakin.
That's so fucking cool. I'm sorry. I just saw blister packs because we were talking about merch, and I was like, holy fucking shit. Are those like original?
Yeah, like, so those are the original packs? The third one is just the reprinting or whatever they're called, right, of a battle droid.
Okay, cool.
R2-D2 Tamagotchi.
God damn. Okay. Yeah, sorry, my bad. We can continue now. Is everyone happy?
No.
Shabooty.
So true, bestie. We're recording now.
Progress. Like that.
Did it say that?
Yeah.
Make it say something else.
Oh, that's sick.
Oh, right. Like, recording ended.
Whoa, that was good.
That was me.
I know, that was good. That's how just good.
Thanks.
I need to open up WhatsApp.
All right, I have the thing.
This $3,000 get filled by the Deer Hunter.
It was was expecting more like science fiction, like
double feature. Yeah,
I feel like we're not listening to the same album. What?
Maybe we'll do a listening party, and you guys can convince me otherwise.
That's because totally
I have done.
I have only listened to it once.
Okay. We will force you to listen to it, and I'm so excited. After the recording, we got into an argument about the Deer Hunter. So if you like this, listen to their podcast and then play that.
Good chow.
Nice. Robert, you are muted.
I'm sharing my screen. I'm also unmuted.
There you go.
He's emo Rob right now. He's got the Pete Wentz like scoop right now.
Actually, this man genuinely went cat.
Oh, she's drippy. She's so drippy.
She's drippy.
Can okay. you see?
Let me tell you a thing, Devin. He genuinely went out the other day and basically got Casey's haircut.
Fuck you.
I love it. I'm not insulting you, but that's what it is.
I could have the hair of a band member. I mean, I would have like a lot of the locks. I mean, actually, that's way too much hair. I'd shave that shit off.
All right, we're skipping ahead because I need you to see this part. Here it is. This how is the motherfucker.
You... Okay, here's the thing. Before you play it, how could you not hear that, like, sci-fi dystopic vibes? Like, I mean, even...
I hear it, but, like, I was expecting, like, to be, like, rocked. Like, it just... it might honestly just be the mixing. I feel like I would enjoy these songs live.
The mixing's perfect.
It feels very flat.
Goddamn perfect.
Flat, bro.
Maybe I'm just, like, super biased because I'm literally writing my undergrad dissertation on this album.
Listen to this, okay?
I've only listened once.
This is my favorite song from the album, and you're gonna listen. Ready? Are we ready? Shake your head yes. Oh, wait, shit, context. Okay, so real quick, the leader of this city.
I can't hear anything.
I paused it.
No, but I couldn't hear it.
Are you fucking joking me right now? Do not fuck with me.
Sir, I don't know what to tell you.
Ship sound. What? Okay, real quick. I just need to explain that. So basically every ring is an area of the city. And so like ring 8 is the outermost ring. And as you move inward, you get the more, the richer... better rings, like the more affluent people. And
Devin,
in the very center,
have you ever watched Avatar the Last Airbender?
I know the concept.
This is Ba Sing Se.
Yes. Yeah.
So this
there's no trouble here.
So
there's no war in Ba Sing Se.
So in the very center is called the Tower. It's this big, like frightening looking building where the leader lives. He's like a god king, so like it's passed down.
I'm looking at it.
I'm just telling you that the man in the middle is just so fucking powerful, and he's basically like bred that way. Like this is the song. This is kind of like him being a badass, just being himself.
What a wonderland. Why don't you put lyrics on?
Because I can't fucking find him.
Oh, I remember what... I think it's the vocals.
The vocals are amazing. Shut the fuck up. It's about to get crazier.
Okay, but like you guys are very into the Broadway. And I am too, but like this is very like...
You saw Beetlejuice like 60 times.
Bro! That's motherfucker.
All right, just listen.
To my too much power for one man. It's what they all say if they don't understand that they'll never get in the tower. bars and alleys. Why waste my time trying to be a diplomat? I deliver the pain, and there is nothing that compares to how good it feels to be the one to push the domino. What's beneath it, what's ahead, no matter. The path won't wrap around till long after I'm dead, and one truth remains, that you'll not gain any power unless you're starting with power. And you're not starting with power unless you come from tower.
Okay, so anyway. So that's the opening of this motherfucker. All right, the opening is great. The opening
Devin looks
is wonderful.
So unamused.
I know.
It doesn't do anything to me, man. It like, okay. So I also don't love every single Deer Hunter song.
Okay, well, suck my dick. But listen,
like,
listen. Just there's two parts of this song I need you to listen to. Okay, and it's the opening, which is amazing. I love the opening.
I musically, I understand it's phenomenal, and I'm sure. I mean, I've seen some of these songs live; they kick ass live. But studio, it just is like, it's there to me.
You're high.
I do wish that Casey would do this song live. I want to hear it so bad.
Oh, he's done it live. You saw it live, didn't you? He did Ring One. He did all the rings for you. Don't you remember? You had a first tour.
No, he didn't.
He did all the rings.
No, he didn't. He literally did not.
Okay, fine. Anyway, this song's amazing.
I've only ever heard 7, 5, and 3 live.
So, okay. Listen, Devin, my friend. There's just two parts of this song, and then I'll let you free. Just listen to how fucking crazy this shit is. To change their what'd you say?
I said I fuck with that part, but I gotta listen to 3 minutes and 45 seconds of stuff that I don't really love to get there.
Yeah, that's fine. But then it comes back again as a reprise, motherfucker. And it's halftime. It's cut time. It's so listen to this shit.
When the light in your dims down. Listen to his voice in this. This song goes directly into the first track of their new album.
Yep.
Which is sexy as fuck.
I didn't love the halftime part.
The halftime's amazing. The line is the world is only made more insane when the helpless many praise the names of the very ones who want them crushed beneath them. That is,
I'm not saying
there's,
it's bad.
But there's no song for Wilhelm Ryan that does that shit. There's no song for Wilhelm Ryan that does that shit. But
Rob,
you know what?
Okay.
This motherfucker who lives right the fuck in here has a song for that. What the fuck are you talking about? You want to sit here and talk about the Hound of Blood and Rank and not even know who the fuck that is? You want to sit here and talk about that and not know what the fuck is about? But I'll tell you one thing, and one thing for goddamn certain. I know what Ring One's about. I know that in my fucking brain, bro. It's in here. It's so good.
And that's fine. I'm really happy for you. I'm glad.
You're muted.
Terrible. When Casey releases an interview or something and is like, yeah, you know, people don't really like it. Cause I'm like, fuck, like I want to like it. I just, it does not click with me. There's
Maybe it'll be one of those albums that will click with you once the next album comes out. Because the thing that Casey said in our interview was that this album was to completely set the scene. So it makes sense to me that a lot of people don't vibe with it because contextually, it's just a song about places.
There's no one more vocally talented than fucking Casey. He's too
Oh,
talented.
believe me.
Okay, well,
I.
now you're comparing apples to oranges, brother. You got a live performance of one of their best songs.
Yeah. What are you talking about? One of their worst songs.
What are you saying? This song is great.
The Cavalier Man.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say something controversial. I actually prefer how he sings it on the album.
You're out of your goddamn mind. This part. That's it, right here.
Horribly close vowel.
Anyway, it's amazing. It's
No, the
fucking
reason.
insane.
Do you want to know why I prefer it? It has more heart in the recording, in the OG, because this man is so sick of Act One. We know we've been new. You can tell he was ready to put this to bed. In the album recording, he was 20 years old with a dream, and you can tell. You can hear it. There is so much angst and rawness, and also those vowels were way too closed.
You're out of your fucking
Period.
mind, man. You're out of your fucking mind, bro.
Devin,
Talking crazy.
we can't hear you at all, Devin.
Okay, first off, Rob really did get the Casey special. But second of all, you can't fucking tell me that the line waves anything off of Migrant is kicking ass as much as Antimony. I don't hear it.
Yeah, man, I'll put like eight songs on Migrant over Antimony. Or eight songs off of Antimony over Migrant. I do not like Migrant as much as others.
Although, shame, dude.
Why
Shame
aren't
ain't good.
I? You don't like it. You know what? Casey's voice is perfect on Migrant. Okay, he's for heard. Okay,
It's Act Four is where his voice is perfect.
Actually, it's Act Five where his
It's
voice is
actually
perfect.
Act Four.
As someone who is a vocal teacher, someone who understands technique, Act Five is his best album vocally,
You're out of your
and
fucking mind.
I'm not. I'm educated. I don't know what you're on
No,
about.
you. I don't give a shit how educated. It's this. It's this. This is so good. This is.
I agree. It is incredible, but then you have. A beginning, then you have fucking what is it? You know, the spirit splits in two. Hello.
Get this song. See, I don't like this song.
Here, this part.
The thing is, do you want to know what it is? And I think it's because I ruin these things for myself. It's because I can hear where it could be slightly amended to be perfect.
Play of Swords because I honestly don't like that song. I skip that Deer Hunters.
Excuse me?
Gears turning, that new orange can attack. Consideration of pause, had their time come and pass. No.
This song clinched the deal. I was obsessed with this song for months.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have to say this. I skip King of Swords because of If All Goes Well.
You're If All Goes Well is the
better
mind.
Version of King of Swords.
No.
What is wrong with you? I mean, this song is great. I mean, I'll push it good. Makes me feel things. That run is so smooth.
It's so fucking good, man.
Tingles anyway, my brain. Right. Here's the thing. You shouldn't skip King of Swords because it shows what Hunter is doing on the surface and then everything else underneath. You need both, baby. You need both.
Well, hey, listen. This was fun. I do need to get this recording downloaded so I can upload it to the Google Drive. But... Which I think brings us to the end of our episode.
I think so.
Thanks for having me on, Devin. It's always fun.
Don't thank me. I specifically texted Rob that Blue is always
and said good. And said not to have Blue on, and I said no. I had to have Blue.
You're such an asshole, bro.
I got the Casey special. That's payback for that. Anyway,
Now you need your hair and your little man ponytail thing. It's cute.
Gray it. Really?
Yeah. Quick. Oh my god, please gray it. Wait.
Ooh. All right, guys. Good talk. Blue, call me on WhatsApp after this, okay?
All right.
All right. Bye, Devin. Love you.
See you, Devin.